Hello, brothers and sisters. Once more, welcome to Food for the Journey. And I pray that it is food for you. It's not a banquet, but it's food. And it's food that's good, solid. Food that will equip you for eternal life. Do you read the scriptures every day? I really encourage you, even if it's a paragraph, even if it's a sentence, but read it every day. Because the Word of God is not like any other book we pick up. It's living. It's active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It can separate by its power bone from marrow. That's not an exaggeration. Since I have come to love the Word of God so much, I see what God is doing. He's teaching us. He's feeding us. He's lifting us up. He's caring for us in difficult times. He's showing us the way to go if we're attentive, if we listen. So I really encourage you, brothers and sisters, if you can, read the Word of God daily. Start with one of the Gospels. Do all four Gospels. Read the Gospel, a little portion of it, every day. God will touch your life because that Word, as I've said to you before, is living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It changed me. It helped me. And it can help you. The first reading for today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 to 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy rich food and pure choice wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth. For the Lord has spoken. Notice that. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. Trust him. Draw near to him. Bring your pain and your sorrow to him. Or if everything is going just right for you today, thank him for your blessings. Every day, thank him. God will hear, and God will answer. On that day, it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we look to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." He loves us. He wants to feed us and clothe us. He'll do it in a whole variety of ways. But open your heart to see what God has in store for you. Psalm 23 tells us, "I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul." You know, I had to memorize that psalm at one point when I was a child. And only in my adulthood did I come to understand how true it is. He is my shepherd and I shall not want. Even when I think I'm in want, he is caring for us and giving us what is his priority. And that's what we really want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. Go to him. He will. He guides me in right paths, not the path I want, in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me. In the sight of my foes, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. I think this is definitely my favorite psalm. It builds me up. I'm asking God to lead me. I'm thanking Him. Pray that psalm. I suggest for a while, pray it every day until you've memorized it, till it's part of you. Pray that psalm often. How good God is to us. Even if some things are hard right now, it's not God bringing us hardness or challenges that are way beyond us. Trust God to see you through. God's doing something in there. Keep trusting Him. Keep hanging on to Him. I shall live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And the second reading from Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, and then 19 to 20. Brothers and sisters, I know how to live in humble circumstances. I know also how to live with abundance. In every circumstance and in all things, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of living in abundance and being in need. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. Still, it was kind of you to share in my distress. My God will fully supply what you need in accord with His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, he went through hard times and difficult things, but he said, I know how to live that way, and I know if, whether it's humble or it's abundant, I've learned the secret, and the secret is to give thanks to God for what He has done. And he even says, I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. That's a man with real faith. Real faith. Let's take a look now at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. Oh, I've got too much else to do, or I don't want to do this. I want to do something else. A second time he sent out other servants, saying, tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast. Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm and another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his troops to destroy those murderers and burn their city. Then he said to his servants, the feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment, and the king said to him, my friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment? But he was reduced to silence. And then the king said to his attendants, bind his hands and feet, cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen. Brothers and sisters, please, please don't be too embarrassed about your sin. Please do not turn away. Please go to confession as often as you can, or as soon as you can, I should say. Doesn't mean you have to go every day or every week, but go often to confession. And look that God Himself, forgives you. You don't have to carry it. One moment of embarrassment isn't going to destroy you if you are embarrassed. Just give it to God. Say it to God. And the priest who stands for the Lord at this point, who will give you forgiveness, just say it, get it out, and know the freedom that's there for the sons and the daughters of God. We are so loved, brothers and sisters. We are so loved. A wedding garment means that you have the grace of baptism on you. You're strengthened. You're living the right way. Let's choose that way. I pray for you all every day. Choose the way God has laid out for us, because it will bring you into an eternal home of glory. And I can't wait for that. I have only 3 minutes remaining, but I want to share with you what Pope Benedict said. What great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? St. Thomas Aquinas took up this saying in his reflections for the Feast of Corpus Christi. In doing so, he showed how we Christians in the Church of the New Covenant can pronounce these words with yet more reason and more joy and more thankfulness than Israel could. In doing so, he showed how this saying in the Church of Jesus Christ has acquired a depth of meaning hitherto unsuspected. God has truly come to dwell among us in the Eucharist. He became flesh so that he might become bread. He gave himself to enter into the fruit of the earth and the work of human hands. He puts himself in our hands and into our hearts. God is not the great unknown whom we can, but dimly can perceive. We not fear as heathens do, that he might be capricious and bloodthirsty, or too far away, or too great to hear men. He is there, and he always knows where we can find him when he allows himself to be found and is waiting for us. Today, this should once more sink into our hearts. God is near. God knows us. God is waiting for us in Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. Let us not leave him waiting in vain. Let us not, through distraction and lethargy, pass by the greatest and most important thing life offers us. Let us not pass it heedlessly by. Let us take time in the course of this week to go in and spend a moment with the Lord who is so near. During the day, our churches should not be allowed to be dead houses standing empty and useless. Jesus Christ's invitation is always being given from them. May God touch you. May you hear the word of God. May you hear the invitation of God. May you turn to him. Go to confession. Go to the Eucharist whenever you can. Don't put it off. It will set you free. Receive him as often as you can. He is food for our soul. And just like we need food for our bodies, we need food for our soul. Trust him, brothers and sisters. Please trust him. Give your heart to him. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.